I'm Anna Garcia, host of True Crime News, the podcast. Every week, we bring you in-depth coverage on cases making headlines, as well as those that go under the radar. Tune in for murders that defy explanation, mystery seeking exploration, and shocking secrets that will leave you breathless. Each week, we honor the victims by going beyond the salacious in our search for justice. Crime never stops. And neither do we. Listen to True Crime News, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Where you can ask this stellar superstar of college football anything you want in the world of college football. The big stories, or maybe the stories you don't think are covered enough with your team. Now's the time at 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. And boy, did we have just so many stories come out of Saturday's slate of games. Let's first start off with Cedric in Milwaukee on CBS Sports Radio. What's going on, Cedric?
Hey, how you doing?
Good, Cedric. How are you doing?
I'm doing good.
Okay.
Okay, I want to talk about Alabama and Wisconsin. And the first question for you is, what do you think about Alabama's chances to make it into the college football player? And the second part of the question is the same thing, but is this not Alabama, it's Wisconsin.
Okay.
All right. I think Alabama has a 50-50 chance of getting there. Of course, they have the Iron Bowl. They have Mercer this week. I mean, that can be difficult. They could stub their toe versus Mercer. No offense, Mercer, but I'm just saying.
Mercer, huh?
Yeah, but they have done the Iron Bowl. They go to Auburn, and that's going to be a difficult ball game for them. And if they get past Auburn, they have Georgia in the SEC championship ball game. So I would say a 50-50 chance to defeat Auburn. And I'm going to say the same versus Georgia. So they got a shot, but I think there are three teams in the mix out of the SEC, Auburn, Georgia, and Alabama. And it's going to be difficult, especially for Auburn, if they have to have that rematch versus Georgia. That'll be tough. And all three of these games, or all these games, will be difficult.
Okay. What about Wisconsin?
Wisconsin has I'm going back and forth. I said Saturday on national TV, I believe in you, Wisconsin, after you just throttled Iowa. But I like Michigan's defense coming in there. I think they're a more consistent defense. And Wisconsin will have to take on, speaking of thrashing someone, Ohio State bouncing back from that beatdown they took.
Yeah.
And Michigan, we said that Michigan State was being disrespected.
Yeah.
They got disrespected. They got the leg up and put in the, what'd you say, they put the leg up and put in the blender?
Yeah, yeah.
They got put in the blender, the Ohio State Buckeyes blender. Wisconsin needs to, of course, beat Michigan. And then if they can beat, if Ohio State wins, it wins out and they go to the conference championship game and Wisconsin can beat them, they're in.
Yeah, I don't love the Wisconsin-Ohio State matchup.
I don't either.
I mean, I think they'll end up beating Michigan. I don't like that matchup for them. I just think that there's too much firepower there for Ohio State. And then if they get up in that game, as good as Wisconsin's defense is, but they get up a couple of touchdowns against Wisconsin, I just don't see them storming back in that game. But if they could somehow win that game, they're 100%, in my opinion, a lock for the playoff at that point. An undefeated Big Ten champ who beat Ohio State in the championship game. There's no doubt about it.
This offensive line, I'd love to see this matchup, and even this weekend versus Michigan. This offensive line, those guys are so big. They get on the second level. They just mash you, and then they lean on you and lie on you and spit on you and everything. They are you try to make Wisconsin a one-trick pony, and they relish in the fact that you do that because they want to be able to run the ball. And it seems like Jonathan Taylor, the freshman, he's always leaning forward. And Shaw, watch his backup running back, Shaw, and his stance. It looks like he's trying to hold his water. Like, he needs to go to the restroom. Y'all hear him snap this ball. I got to go. And yet he can run through you as well.
855-212-4CBS for David in Modesto, California on CBS Sports Radio. Good morning, David. What's happening?
Hey, what's going on, guys?
What's up, man? What do you got for us?
My Tar Heels finally won against Pitt.
Yes, they did. It was an awful loss.
Nail biter.
Awful loss for Pitt, but yeah, you got to win there.
I know they're nothing to talk about because they're 2-7.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, I wanted to bring up Alabama also. Do you think they'll be number one, or are they going to bypass them again, keep them where they're at, and move up one of these other teams?
I think Alabama definitely is going to be number one. I think they slide up to the number one position. They went on the road and faced a ranked Mississippi State team, a team that had played extremely well, hadn't lost a ball game at home, and was playing better here lately. And so I definitely think Alabama, even though it was a close win, they slide into number one. Now, who's number two? That's going to be debatable. You know, I've gone back and forth. Oklahoma or Miami. I'm leaning Miami. That may change by the time we pick tomorrow on Inside College Football, but Bama's number one.
Yeah. Last thing, like to give a big shout out to Kyle Shanahan for getting that first win.
There you go, baby. Yeah, hook 'em horns. Yeah. They don't appreciate that up here in New York, but Kyle Shanahan got that first victory. Good for him.
And boy, did they celebrate it
they did.
In that locker room.
Yes, they did. That's like winning the Super Bowl, man. I've been on those one-win teams.
Yeah.
You win now, and you're like, man, yes, this is what it feels like. Because you're forgotten, and pretty, I'm sure everyone on that team has been part of a winning program at some point of their football careers, and then you're playing at the highest level, and you finally get a W.
855-212-4CBS. The guy mentioned Pitt. I want to go because Pitt plays Miami, and I'm going to be in Pittsburgh for Thanksgiving, and I wanted to go to the game, but if it's a night game, I just can't do it.
Why not?
I just don't want to go to a night game. It's just so damn cold. You're up late.
You want anyone with a suite?
I don't know. I don't want to push it. Maybe.
And look out. When is that game? You said it's Thanksgiving weekend.
It's Friday.
So it's next week.
Friday, either afternoon or Saturday.
Miami, remember Clemson last year? Pitt went into their house and knocked them off. Pitt's been playing better.
It's not. No, they haven't. They've
been playing better. I know, but UNC played Miami close. They've been playing better. Both have been playing better.
I think Miami will end up winning that game pretty easily. But I don't know the kickoff time yet, but I think that with Miami beating Notre Dame, it's more likely to be a night game now. That's what I think is going to end up happening. So I'm not going to be able to go.
They should have the kick time now, shouldn't they?
It should be later today.
Yeah,
I think it's going to come out today. Let's go to Chris in Pennsylvania on CBS Sports Radio. What's up, Chris?
Hi, guys. How you doing?
Good, Chris. What do you got, man?
All right. Now, you said Wisconsin would be a lock if they won out the Big Ten championship undefeated. But what if, okay, we can all agree if Oklahoma wins out, they're probably in. If Miami Clemson winner would go in. Now, if Auburn beats Alabama and then Georgia again in the SEC championship game, do you leave out Alabama, Auburn, or the Wisconsin? Because there's only two more spots left.
So you're saying your scenario is Auburn beats Alabama, then beats Georgia again in the SEC championship game?
Right.
Oh, Auburn's in. Auburn is in. Bama's out. Georgia's out. Auburn is in. They run this gauntlet.
Put Wisconsin in over Alabama?
If Wisconsin wins out, yes.
I mean, that's going to be really tough.
Yeah, if Wisconsin wins the Big Ten Conference, they're in.
They need to be, but that's going to be an argument there from a lot of people.
If Bama is a one-loss.
If Wisconsin played Alabama or Auburn's schedule, I think they have at least two losses.
I would agree with you. But listen, the Big Ten champion is going to be in. If Wisconsin is unblemished, they are in. That's done. The die is cast. Now, Auburn's able to run this. Beat Georgia, number one at the time when they defeated them. Now Alabama rolls onto the plains, number one. They defeat them. Then they have a rematch with Georgia, and they knock off Georgia again. Two-loss team is in. I know Bill Hancock told us a couple weeks ago on the show that a two-loss team, he didn't foresee a two-loss team getting in. Auburn is getting in. Write it down. Take a picture. They're in if they are able to win those next two. No way. And Bama's out. Too bad. Bama will be in the same position where Ohio State was a year ago, where you had a Penn State with a two-loss team, wins the conference. Yet Ohio State goes, even though they lost to Penn State. But Auburn's going to get in. This would be a different situation. They're not leaving Auburn out. And Alabama's not going to get in this year. They can't get in with one loss, not winning the division, not winning a conference championship. That can't happen 2 years in a 2 years in a row.
I have to go back on Chris is right. I have to go back on the Wisconsin being a lock thing. just because I can't trust the committee. I can't trust them in that situation. Because how many times we talk about brand names, and we understand that Wisconsin is a great program, but if you're going to put brand name recognition, Alabama, Wisconsin, we know who's winning that one every single time.
Okay, so you say we have an undefeated Wisconsin, Big Ten champion, and you have a one-loss Alabama team that didn't win its division, didn't win the conference championship. They are going to get ahead. They're going to go ahead of the Big Ten champion.
I don't think that should happen this time around. I know we had an argument about Penn State last year. I don't think it should happen this time around, but we've seen it happen before. And what the committee is going to do is they're going to forget about all that stuff, and they're going to say, we think Alabama, with their schedule, what they've gone up against with one loss, deserves to be playing for a championship more than Wisconsin. I think it's a possibility.
No, I would agree with you. It's a possibility. We saw it in 2011, the BCS format. Now we've seen it here a year ago with this college football format, playoff format. But I don't see that happening. Not if Auburn runs the table, in which they do. You're not going to have two SEC teams in there over a Big Ten champion that's unblemished. They have no losses. Zilch.
I know, but I do think, as much as this pains me to say, I do think Wisconsin's going to lose a game. I think that they're going to end up doing that. And I would
love... Who do they have Michigan left, and is it Minnesota where they play for the Axe or something?
Yeah, but I just think that they're going to lose in that Big Ten championship game. That's what I think is going to end up happening. And then that'll sort things out. It'll make it easier for the committee. I hope.
And then you may have a two teams from the SEC get in then. You look at USC out west and Washington going down. That hurts the prospect of the Pac-12. And Washington may end up, or Washington State end up playing USC in their conference championship game. SC, of course, has two losses. And now everyone, at least the front runners, all have at least two losses. So that could be interesting. I think they're out. The Big 12 still in this thing. The Big 10, of course, is in it. ACC, they're going to be in, and the SEC is going to be in.
Yeah, I think that if you leave out Wisconsin undefeated in that situation.
Oh, you should have holy hell to pay. That's wrong.
Undefeated. I guess the question would be, well, what else do we have to do? And their answer would be schedule better teams in your non-conference.
How about we expand the playoff? Let's expand it. That's what I want.
Would they be wrong, though?
For leaving Wisconsin out?
If you're trying to get the four best teams in there, would they be wrong?
Wisconsin would be one of those best teams. You win the Big Ten Conference.
We were just talking about
how Baylor and TCU, they were left out. They were snubbed because they didn't have that cachet, that big brand box name. Wisconsin coming out of the Big Ten, they do. They have it. Now, I know people will be looking at it, well, it may turn out like Michigan State going up against Alabama a couple years ago. Michigan State didn't score a point. I don't believe it will be like that.
I'm just talking best team. Like, forget about all that.
Yeah, they're one of the best teams. They have one of the best defenses.
I mean, they're better than who would you pick in a game, Alabama against Wisconsin?
I would probably give Alabama the edge.
Well,
barely.
But that's what
barely.
I'm saying.
But it's not a lock. I would say, with the way they run the ball, those big horses up front and the way they play defense at Wisconsin.
No, you don't need to convince me. I'm just trying to what I'm saying is I could see that committee so easily putting Alabama in there, and that would just be a real shame. I would be as angry as anybody.
You should be.
Because that's my guy, man.
I know that's your guy. I would be angry because it's just not fair. If they run the gamut or run and go undefeated there in the Big Ten, I got Wisconsin in this bad boy.
Go to Brandon in Arkansas on CBS Sports Radio. What's up, Brandon?
Hey, guys. First time to call. Been listening to you for a long time. I'm glad we're talking about Wisconsin because we got their coach about 5 years ago, Brett Bielema. Yeah. And let me tell you what, guys. Talk about a blender. I heard a blender. Well, we need a big blender to put him in. Because let me tell you what. It has been a nightmare since he came in. We've lost our identity. We used to be run the ball, throw to the tight ends, big defensive ends. We weren't ever a top 10 team every year, but I'll tell you what, we'd give you four quarters of football that you would remember for the rest of the year. We're not doing that anymore, guys. What do we do? The Ozarks are crying right now. We need help, and we need to know from the expert, do we give Brett Bielema another year? Do we go after the guy at Memphis? I hear that name come up pretty often. Do we go for an up-and-comer, a young guy, or do we get an older retread, say Sumlin gets fired at A&M, do we bring on Sumlin because he can recruit Texas? Or do we go for a young and up-and-comer? Or do we give Brett Bielema another year? We need your help.
Brandon, far be it for a Longhorn to want to help out a Razorback, but I will do my job and help you out. Brett Bielema, 29-32 in the four-plus seasons there at Arkansas, 4-6, 1-5 in the SEC this season. His record is upside down in the SEC, and it's interesting. Sumlin, you know, the heat is back on him after the last couple of losses, but he has a better conference record than Brett Bielema does there. And you guys just lost to LSU. You go to Mississippi State this week, I believe, and that's probably going to be another L for you. Your quarterback, your backup quarterback, just had some legal issues that transpired over the weekend.
Yeah,
he was arrested.
He celebrated that loss a little too hard.
Yeah, I think he was probably trying to rid his mind of that loss.
I think he was.
Unfortunate for him, but glad no one was hurt. I think they're going to probably look younger if they do. You know, we were ridiculing the folks there, the brass at Arkansas. They had this executive committee meeting, and they said there was nothing to see here, nothing was decided, yada, yada, yada. So why have the meeting? But Bielema is definitely this hog is going to be on the spit. Because he has not done anything the last few years. And I think Norvell, you brought up Mike Norvell there at Memphis. That's right down the road from Fayetteville. And so I think he's going to be a guy you'd want to talk to. Matt Campbell, even though he says that he's staying at Iowa State, and he thinks it's an insult that his name comes up in conjunction with these openings. They lost a close one to Oklahoma State. So I think that the young guys, I don't think you see any retreads.
I'll tell you, the locals here, Gus Malzahn's a local. He went to Auburn and left out of here, you know, and they had a lot of drama behind that one. But he won this last game, and so that took the pressure off him. But he was on the hot seat, and I think everybody here was ready to bring him back, which kind of shocks me because there was a lot of drama involved when he left. But now that he's got his big win under his belt, he might not be leaving Auburn. But this is the deal with Gus. It seems like every year he's either on the hot seat or close to it, and he has to get himself off the hot seat with a big win.
Ryan,
why not come back to Arkansas and just live it up? No hot seat, man. Just come back here and get 8 or 9 wins a year, and we're good to go. What do you think about that one?
Hey, Brandon, great call, man. Thanks for the call.
Have a good one. I
think Gus Malzahn is going to stay right where he is. And last year, going into that LSU ball game, both coaches, you had Les Miles and Gus Malzahn, were on the proverbial hot seat. And, of course, Les Miles was let go after the controversial play that went against his team. Wasn't really controversial to play. They didn't get the play off, and Gus Malzahn survived. But, yes, he needed that win versus Auburn in a huge way because they hadn't fared well versus top-ranked teams.
We'll continue with your college football calls at 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. Also, still plenty of NFL we haven't gotten to. Vontaze Burfict ejected. The end of that Chargers-Jaguars game, which was a complete mess. So much to get to. Keep it right here.
Geo and Jones on CBS Sports Radio.
Andrew Bogish is here, and he's got an update for us. What's going on, Bogish?
Guys, the Broncos were hoping a visit from the Patriots on Sunday Night Football would be the spark to stop their four-game slump. Not at all.
Tom from the gun. Tom takes the snap. Backpedals, shuffles left, throws it left, White with a catch into the end zone. Touchdown, Patriots!
The words from Bob Sosi, the grunts from Scott Zolak on Patriots Radio 3, touchdown passes from Tom Brady, kickoff return and rushing scores from Deion Lewis. It's the 12th straight road win for New England, the 5th straight loss overall for Denver. D lineman Derek Wolf ain't happy.
It's like we're a whole new team. It's embarrassing. I'm tired of being embarrassed.
But Wolf has a plan for fixing their problems.
I'm going to go in tomorrow and I'm going to do heavy back squats.
Because that solves everything. 41-16, the final count last night on Sunday Night Football. The Saints have no problems at the moment. 7 straight wins after blitzing the Bills in Buffalo, 47-10. The Vikings won their 5th straight, 38-30 in Washington. The Falcons down the Cowboys, 27-7. The Jaguars stealing a 2017 OT win from the Chargers. The Browns are 0-9 after a 38-24 loss in Detroit, and the Steelers escaped Indy 20-17. The Colts led 10-0 and 17-3, but Mike Tomlin's team won on Chris Boswell's 33-yard field goal as time expired.
We'll get back in the lab and go back to work. Obviously, we had an extra point blocked. There's a lot of negativity to talk about, but we'll talk about that negativity with a win. and that's my preference.
Four straight wins.
They were terrible.
Yeah, they are. They really are.
They really were so bad yesterday. I don't know how that. And they should have lost the game.
Yeah, they should have. But good teams that don't play their best, they bring their C game and still find a way to win.
Come out of a bye against that defense and be that bad?
Yep.
Anyway.
Four straight wins for them, by the way. Georgia's now 7th. Notre Dame is 9th in the AP College Football Poll after Saturday's smackdowns. Alabama remains number 1, now followed by Miami, Oklahoma, Clemson, and Wisconsin. Unranked Tennessee fired Butch Jones yesterday. The full-time replacement will be the Vols' 5th head coach in 11 years. The Houston Rockets blitzed the Pacers in Indy, 118-95, 26 points and 15 assists for James Harden, 20 points and 17 boards for Clint Capela, 37 points from Paul George, 27 from Russell Westbrook. As Melo set out with a sore back, the Thunder down the Mavs 112-99. The Celtics won their 12th straight, 95-94 over the Raptors, and the Pistons beat the Heat 112-103. Detroit's 10-3, its best start since 2005. The Atlanta Braves reportedly hiring Alex Anthopoulos as their new general manager, replacing John Coppolella. So I believe they keep the syllable count in order
there. No joke. Wow.
Coppolella, remember, resigned over misconduct in signing international free agents. NL and AL rookies of the year revealed tonight. It'll be Cody Bellinger and Aaron Judge. And the San Jose Sharks got by the Kings 2-1, the game-winning goal mid-third period from Joel Ward.
Yes! Yes. Your brother!
Yes, your brother. Buzz, back to you.
Mikey B was telling me that it's a good Thursday night matchup this week. What's that matchup again?
It's Tennessee and Pittsburgh.
No, no, no. That's not what you said to me in my ear.
Oh, I said it was the Steelers and the Titans.
Titans?
How come the first T you can do? How come they're not the Titans?
I don't
know.
Yeah. He goes to me all excited. He goes, Steelers, Titans.
I'm looking forward to that game.
Thursday night.
Thursday night football. The Titans.
the Titan. Roll Titan. Yeah, no, he's not wrong, though, at least about the matchup. So we'll be fired up for that one. Are they on NBC now? We can't promote the big CBS games anymore. They're all on NBC now. We can't go crazy with Nance and Romo and do big promotion stuff. All right, 855-212-4CBS. So many people want to talk about college football.
No joke.
So let's let them, huh?
Come on.
Let's just do that. Wesley in Alabama on CBS Sports Radio. What's up, Wesley? Good morning.
How you guys doing this morning?
Great, Wesley. What do you got for us?
Well, my question is, I'm going back to Auburn. I'm from Alabama. I'm in the military. I'm stationed in Louisiana here, but I'm still War Damn Eagle till the end. My question is, what do you guys think Auburn's chance of actually running the table is? I know if they beat Alabama and they beat Georgia, if they're not locked, it's just stupid. But What is y'all's opinion on? What do you think their chances of actually beating Alabama and Georgia a second time are this year?
I think their chances are excellent to beat Alabama. Alabama offensively, they're a juggernaut, but I think the way Auburn plays defense and the way they shut down Sonny Michel, Nick Chubb, DeAndre Swift, Elijah Holyfield, Jake Fromm, everyone on the offensive side of the ball for Georgia, that leads you to believe that they have an excellent chance to win the Iron Bowl. So they can continue to play defense like that, and I don't see why they wouldn't, and stay healthy. No one goes down. I forget who they have this week. They've already played Mercer, but they'll have essentially what amounts to a bye week this week. But, yeah, they have a great chance to take on Alabama and be more
competitive. Louisiana Monroe.
ULM, okay. I think they have a good chance of winning. Now, a rematch, if they get past Alabama, a rematch with Georgia, that's going to be a tough one. As I said earlier, I thought they showed some stuff late in that ballgame. They probably would have wanted to keep. They had one of those little old screens they showed. And why not hold that one till you play in an Iron Bowl? But definitely going up against Georgia, that'll be difficult if they get that second chance.
Yeah, I think Gus was definitely not one to let off the gas on that one after.
Nope.
Well, yeah, he's got to impress. That's the other thing too. When you already have a couple losses, you want people to look at that resume and be like, "Wow, they really blew out Georgia."
You just beat Georgia and you beat Alabama and you win in your conference championship. You're fine. That's impressive enough.
Yeah, I still think that coaches are like, you know what? Just do everything you can to make this look as good as possible. Especially when you've got a couple of losses in your back pocket, right? I mean, that's every little bit of your resume. But you're right. I mean, and no one's playing better than them right now.
Well,
so
the loss that looks the worst for them is the LSU loss. They're up 9 points going into halftime, like they were in this ball game last weekend, and did nothing in the second half. So that Lost to Clemson? You fine. You get some points for that, even though it's still a loss. You lose 14-6 in that ball game. And then versus LSU, you do nothing in the second half, just fall apart. That's the one that's more problematic for you.
Gary's in Florida on CBS Sports Radio. What's up, Gary? Good morning.
Hey, good morning. First of all, Brian, got to agree with you. There's no way that an undefeated Big Ten champion gets left out of the playoff. But let me just add a couple of things to it. You know, you played. Winning is hard. Sometimes you play a trap game. Sometimes you're just not there on game day. Sometimes your coach maybe doesn't do the right job during the week. Winning is hard. You know, and you just can't discount going undefeated from a Big Ten or an SEC or an ACC school. You know, and right now, here's my gripe. There is no way either Clemson or Oklahoma should be ranked above Wisconsin. And here's why. Clemson, you lost to a mediocre Syracuse team.
Mm-hmm.
Oklahoma, don't tell me about how wonderful your defense is and how wonderful you are. You lost to a mediocre Iowa State team, and you gave up 52 points to Oklahoma State. So, you know, I'm sorry. One-loss teams shouldn't be ranked ahead of undefeated teams. Ask Iowa, 60 yards on 50 plays. No way Wisconsin gets left out. I don't care who wins whatever conference.
No, you and I are in accord.
Well, hold on, let me say something first, because I agree with Brian on this. I'm just saying I think that Wisconsin should be in too. I'm just saying that I don't trust the committee, and I don't know how you could, especially when it comes to Alabama. So that's first off, and that is that I agree if Wisconsin ends up being an undefeated Big Ten champ, they have to be in the college football playoff. But if that scenario breaks the way we were talking about before, you can't tell me that you're not a little bit scared of what the committee could do with Alabama in that spot. And also, you know, not everybody's schedule is created equal, and that's something you
right.
have to factor in.
Right.
You can't just willy-nilly toss that away, especially when you're talking about a team in Clemson that's beat how many ranked teams this year?
Louisville was ranked when they defeated
them.
Auburn was ranked when they defeated them and are still ranked, of course. NC State, they defeated 2 weeks ago. They were ranked. So that's why Clemson is ahead of Wisconsin. Wisconsin does not have the stellar non-conference schedule that these others have. That's why those one-loss teams are ahead of you. I would disagree with you, Gary, that Iowa State is not mediocre. They took Oklahoma State to the mat. They've knocked off two top five teams thus far this season in TCU and Oklahoma. They're not mediocre. They're better than mediocre. They're better than average. And as far as the points that Oklahoma gave up, those two teams post points like basketball teams. That's just a given when you're talking about Oklahoma State and all the weapons they have to throw out there on the field. And Oklahoma's defense, yes, they had a tough time with them. I would say any team. Texas held Oklahoma State to 13 points. I couldn't believe that. Their defense is playing much better. No offense to speak of. But I'm not surprised that Oklahoma State scored that many points. It seems like each and every year, Bedlam is exactly that, Bedlam. So Oklahoma, how many ranked teams are they defeated? They knock off Ohio State in their backyard. They beat Oklahoma State down in their backyard. They just defeated a top six team in TCU at home. So that's why they're ahead of Wisconsin. I think Wisconsin's a hell of a football team, but they just don't have that non-conference, the ranked teams on that schedule to prove it right now.
Yeah, and that's what the committee is going to look at. And I would be as disappointed as ever if it didn't go that way, and I think that would be a crime. I would feel like the system isn't working at all if Wisconsin wasn't in undefeated. I just don't trust the committee when they get in there and everybody talks about the humans and talking about it and, you know, what team's the best team, and they, you know, they might have an argument to me about Alabama being the better team, but at that point, you're asking Wisconsin to go undefeated and to win their conference championship. They do, and they're still not in.
That's a tricky.
Yeah, and you look at Clemson that before they get to Miami in the ACC championship ball game, they've got to run through South Carolina, and South Carolina's playing some better football. They've won their last 4 out of 5. One on our air versus a team that has this precipitous slide, or is not enjoying it, but on a precipitous slide, which is Florida. But they're playing better ball, and that's a rivalry game, and you know they will be ready for Clemson when they roll into Columbia.
Ray's in Oregon on CBS Sports Radio. What's up, Ray? Good morning.
Good morning, first time caller. I just had a question about Michigan versus Wisconsin. I was curious, if Michigan win out, beat Wisconsin and beat Ohio State, do they have a chance of getting in the college playoff? And then the second question was, if not, what bowl game do you think their guys could get into?
Damn, Ray, that's a tough one there, man, because we're sitting here talking about two lost teams and Michigan. Whew. I mean, they get embarrassed by Penn State on the road. Right. And then, of course, Florida beat them earlier in the year. And they were embarrassed in that one. Oh, actually, they won that ball game. I'm sorry. And Florida was ranked at the time when they won that ball game. Michigan State beat them at home, and that was a closer. I think it was 14-10 loss there. So if they can beat a top five Wisconsin team, and then you beat an Ohio State who's a top 10 team, and you get to the conference, man. That's a good question. I don't know. I don't know if they get in. I think we'd have to say the same thing with what Auburn's doing. If Auburn beat number one, now they can knock off Alabama and then win the conference championship game, they're in.
Well, it's different, though. Those two scenarios are way different because you're talking about, all right, Auburn just beat the number one ranked team in the country in convincing fashion. They have an opportunity. They will have an opportunity to beat the next number one team in the country. All right, and then they'll have an opportunity to once again beat the team that was ranked number one. That's a hell of a lot different than that Wisconsin schedule that they're going. I mean, the Michigan schedule that they're going to get. I mean, it's all about an opportunity,
right? Okay, here's the opportunity. You got a top five Wisconsin this week in their house. If you beat them, Michigan knocks them off. That's a huge feather in their cap. Would you agree?
Yeah, but it's not anything like number one.
Okay. Five is not one. I get the math.
Mm-hmm.
But you beat a number five ranked Wisconsin team. Then Ohio State comes into your house. They're sitting there. They may be top five after this week. You knock off back-to-back top five teams, and then you get a rematch with Wisconsin in the Big Ten championship.
It's not the same to me. It's not the same.
Well, one and five is not the same, but that's still going to cause a lot of angst in that committee room because now Michigan's back in the picture. If they knock off back-to-back top five teams, back-to-back weeks, and then you get a rematch with Wisconsin in the Big Ten championship game?
Nope. Not going to happen.
They're not going to get in because Wisconsin, if they beat Wisconsin this first time and then they beat them a second time, Wisconsin's not sitting there and sparkling like Georgia was and will be in a rematch with Auburn, if Auburn is able to get to the conference championship game. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does make sense. But I don't believe in Michigan.
I want it to happen. That'd be some good chaos. Come on, that's good chaos.
I don't want that to happen.
Oh, it'd be fun. Well, you don't want it because you're a tall, Christian guy. I got you. I'm just saying from a dramatic standpoint, if you had that going on and now Michigan – iconic brand.
They're not that good.
They knock off back-to-back top five teams.
But I'm talking about right now. Are they that good? Auburn. No. Auburn, we're talking about. Auburn's good.
Yeah.
All right? Because they could do it. All right. Is Michigan any good?
I mean, you beat Maryland 35-10. That's tough to do.
Is Michigan any good?
We're going to find out.
They're not any good. Stop.
We're going to find out.
Ryan, stop.
Back-to-back weeks.
Let's get real here.
Come on. Make it happen, Wolverine.
Let's get back to reality.
Make it happen.
All right, we're coming right back with some NFL talk in 20 minutes. Aaron Murray joins us. Keep it right here.
Greg Giannotti, Brian Jones on CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Sugarcane mosaic virus?
Yeah. First reported back in the 60s.
Okay, yeah. Now it's back?
And then it's back, apparently. It's present in our community, yes.
Oh, wow.
Oh, man.
Are you going to tell your wife and your mother?
No, hell no. Let them find out on their own.
Oh, okay.
They get the scratching, and I'll tell them then. Oh, that's just a sugar cane mosaic virus. She'll be all right.
Yeah, that's right. Come on. You know this was sugarcane mosaic. It's a all the telltale signs.
Yes. Okay. And it doesn't say anything about whether or not you're going to be hospitalized. And it's just, good afternoon. Sugarcane mosaic virus has been observed in all 10 neighborhoods within the Isles of Wellington. Please see the link below for information on this virus. If you have any questions, please come by the clubhouse and speak to Bob, property manager. Thank you. Yeah, I have a question. Yeah. Am I going to die or not? Bob, why are you sending this out?
I mean, Bob, the property manager, is the guy you talked to about this?
Is the dog going to be okay?
I mean, is this...
I mean, what?
Yeah, seriously.
Give me more information than that.
Shouldn't it be a doctor you're talking to, not Bob, maybe, the property manager?
Maybe he doubles as the community doctor, too.
I mean, I don't understand this
at all.
He
wears many hats, dude.
I'd be very alarmed by this.
Yeah.
All right. Well, anyway.
You just sent me another note. You need to cut down that tree that blew over during the hurricane. Okay, I'm going to get to it, Bob.
Oh, Bob sent you? Bob's a real bastard,
Oh,
huh?
Yeah. Oh,
my
man,
goodness.
These notices. Yeah, man. You know, those homeowners associations.
So,
as we transition from the sugarcane mosaic virus,
you thought that it was rock bottom for the Giants last week they got throttled by the Rams. This was worse on a couple of levels. And the reason why this loss to the 49ers was worse for the Giants, I think, first off, is the fact that you had the entire week of people talking about how terrible they were, talking about how they quit, talking about how the coach had to go, and then you get away from all of it, which I think was a good thing.
Yeah.
Get away from all of it, fly across the country and play a team who has not won a game. Now, they played hard. They've been in some games. Have also gotten blown out. They don't have a lot of talent, but this should be a game that you could win. And then in the second half of this game, it looked like they gave up again. And I'm telling you, one of the first things I said when I walked in this morning was, I really think that Janoris Jenkins yesterday was trying to get his coach fired with the way he played. And I'm not even kidding. Like, okay, so you have Goodwin blow by him, and that story is just heartbreaking.
Yeah.
About, you know, losing a child, and then he catches a touchdown pass. I just can't even.
Then he had a on the play you're about to mention with Jenkins giving up, he has a big block on that play to free the tight end for the score.
Yeah, it just, I mean, it's hard to even comprehend. So, but Jenkins, he's the corner on that. And then the Garrett Celek catches this pass, and Jenkins does nothing to try to stop him. I'm telling you, the only thing that he did to attempt to stop him was as if there was a moth on his jersey, and he just, like, swatted it off. That was his...
Delicately.
I mean, this is a man who's an NFL player, a guy who's a big-time talent, someone who last year we were talking about is one of the better corners in football, does nothing to stop him. It looked to me like he was deliberately letting him... Here's the play right here. Watch him.
Mm-hmm.
Look at this.
Think he got the moth.
I mean, it's just pathetic.
Yeah.
And you saw that stuff from Eli Apple last week. And there's, without a doubt, there's guys in that secondary who are not trying as hard as they can. And you can't tell me that the Mara family isn't looking at this and putting some of that blame, if not all of it, on the head coach.
Yeah, and I haven't paid close attention to Jenkins and his tackling ability or lack thereof until yesterday, and it was clearly he didn't want any parts of Celek, which I can understand from the body weight disparity that's at play. But you give a better answer to that. Sell it better than that. How about that? You can make it look as though you really want to get in harm's way without being in harm's way, and you got none of that from him. And here's a guy who's been suspended just recently, and now you're back out there, and that's the effort that you put forth. I thought the Giants came out and played a lot better, act like they wanted to be there, at least that. But it wasn't in the cards for them. And yeah, I'm with you. Last week was rock bottom. You get away from the whole situation as far as the Northeast. You go on the road. You're all the way on the other side of the country. You're playing a team that hasn't won a damn game. And you can clear your head and go out and get another W. But it wasn't meant to be. This team is done. They're in disarray. All they can do now, if they even think to use it as motivation, is try to spoil someone else's season.
Ben McAdoo was asked about the motivation of his players and what he has to do to motivate them.
Again, we have to do one thing first. We have to take a look at the tape first. We have to figure out what went wrong. We got to address it. We got to fix it. We got to move on. And we'll talk about motivation next week. They're pro football players. They need to be self-motivated. Everybody gets a paycheck this week. And we need to go out and play that way.
I agree with the last part. You're right. You need to be self-motivated. You shouldn't have shouldn't be necessary for a coach to have to get you fired up. It's your damn job. It's about your pride. It's about not allowing another man to move you against your will. So yeah, he's correct there. But watch the tape. You were just up close and personal with it. You saw it, and you've seen it you saw it last week up close and personal. You didn't see any tape.
I do agree that you should have some self-pride in going out there and playing, especially when you're a professional. But you know, sometimes it isn't always like that. And sometimes a coach does need to, like a player, there's times where there should be enough there, but also it's like, man, you know, I don't want to disappoint my coach. I don't want to let my coach down. And there's none of that right now, it seems like, at least in that secondary. Let's listen to more of this press conference.
You need to address, you know, your situation with the team, because there's going to be speculation.
What situation? We have to go correct the tape, all right? We have to get ready for a next ball game. We have a chance to play probably one of the best teams in football next week, so no situation.
All right. I love it, dog. We got to correct the tape, all right?
Correct what's on the tape. They've been trying to correct that stuff for a while now. The die is cast in this. They are who they are. They're not going anywhere. All they can do is try to spoil another team season. Kansas City's waltzing in here, and they got so many things on that offense that could threaten Janoris Jenkins and everyone on that defense. So good luck correcting whatever went awry last week versus this team.
Listen to this question.
You're 1-8, just lost to a team that was winless coming in. You find that embarrassing?
No.
What would you find embarrassing? Is there a point where you would be embarrassed?
I'm not embarrassed by this team.
Well, he's no John McKay. You know, coach, what about your execution? Well, your team's execution. I'm all for it. He's still trying to take the high road.
How are you not embarrassed, though? Seriously. Yeah. I mean,
you should have been embarrassed last week.
I mean, the tough guy act has got to go. Yeah. I mean, and say, you know what? I know how a Giant fan feels. I'd be disgusted. I'm sick about this. This is pathetic. I thought I corrected some stuff we didn't. We came out there. We played like crap again. You know, if I'm watching, I'm on a season ticket holder. I'm sick to my stomach. That's the stuff I'd be saying. No, I'm going to go look at the tape. Go look at the tape. What do you mean, what situation? The situation that this season has gotten so far out of control that you might get fired before it ends after going 11-5.
He doesn't want to look at that tape. You don't want to look at that tape.
He's got to do. He doesn't even know what to say. He's got no idea what he's saying.
No, that's why he was reading off a sheet of paper last week when he was discussing
the tape. Whoa, what situation? We got to go correct the tape. If I was on the fence about firing him, if I was John Mara, and then I heard that, correct the tape, out. See ya.
Slice the tape.
Aaron Murray next.
The podcast Campus Files is back with more stories of scandal, crime, and intrigue on college campuses. Campus Files, available now wherever you get your podcasts.